Vatican Radio, Vatican News Podcast. Unprecedented weather conditions driven by climate change continue to impact countries and communities, highlighting the need for a new approach to natural resource management and conservation. As the driest continent on the globe, Australia has been severely impacted by devastating bushfires that have wreaked death, destruction and economic loss. But as Chiara Porro, the Australian ambassador to the Holy See, explained to me, Australia is also determined to take the lead in implementing new green technology infrastructure and techniques while making good use of the knowledge and techniques developed by its indigenous peoples in the course of centuries. What's more, the ambassador explained, the Australian government is on track to beat its 2030 climate change goals by reducing greenhouse gas emissions while investing hugely in renewable energy.
A year ago, Australia was just coming to terms with the devastating effects of the worst bushfires we have ever had in our history. Lives were lost, buildings were damaged, communities were severely affected, and our wildlife was really, really badly damaged. As the driest continent in the world, Australia has always had to deal with these extreme weather events, and our indigenous population has, over the thousands of years, developed some techniques to manage natural resource management. But the intensity and the frequency of what we're experiencing at the moment, we have never seen before. I think climate change is the single greatest threat to our region at the moment. It's clear that we need to really invest in practical, urgent action right now.
Observers have not been very positive about the action taken by the government. They say that your Prime Minister is walking a bit of a delicate tightrope between trying to achieve the goals promised during the Paris Climate Summit and not cut too much the coal industry, which is fundamental for your economy.
Yeah, I mean, on the question of emissions, I think what I was getting to previously was the fact that, reducing emissions is, of course, important for the longer term, but what is also really needed now is a strong focus on adaptation and investment in that. But just to touch on this question of emissions, I mean, Australia, we are on track to beat our 2030 target. We've reduced emissions by almost 17% since 2005, which is faster than many other advanced economies. And we're also investing hugely in renewable technology and renewable energy. We're building capacity in wind and solar at 10 times the global average. And we have the highest uptake in the world. So one in four Australian homes now have solar power. And renewables will contribute at least 50% of our electricity by 2030. So that's all to say that we realise that the economy needs to change, and this change is happening. We're also investing very heavily in hydrogen, in other renewable technologies that could potentially one day be exported to Southeast Asia and potentially down the track replace, I guess, more polluting energy exports at the moment.
I imagine Australia will participate in the next COP. I think it's the 26 in Glasgow. Yeah. What do you think it'll bring to the table?
That's still being debated at the moment back in Australia. But I think, we're working very, very closely with the UK as the COP26 president. And we've already made a number of announcements and commitments, including particularly on adaptation, where we've increased our climate financing already by 50% to $1.5 billion at least over this next period. And we're also really taking the leadership on climate change in our region in the Pacific. We've been working on disaster relief for two decades, but we have a number of initiatives such as our infrastructure financing facility for the Pacific, which is $2 billion, and it's really focused on building climate-resilient infrastructure projects. And we're also supporting meteorological services in the Pacific for data gathering and early warning systems. So a range of measures to ensure that we really know what's happening and what's going on. The need to get to net zero emissions for us is not in dispute, and we're very committed to that. But we're really pushing for the global community to focus on how, for us, that is the most important thing, given the urgent need for our region to adapt and become more climate resilient.
In your position as Australian ambassador to the Holy See, do you manage to get a voice in with your government? regarding the Vatican's stance on climate change?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I think Pope Francis has been very forward-leaning and vocal, and I think his recent participation at the Virtual Climate Ambition Summit in December really demonstrated how even such a small state like the Vatican can really lead the way. Committing to promoting education on integral ecology, I think that's absolutely critical and fundamental and will have a real impact all around the world, given the Catholic education system that's present in countries like Australia as well. And I think that really will have an impact on pushing more of that bottom-up demand for a more climate-neutral economy and other policies.
He's also very strong on education at the moment. You were mentioning the strength of Catholic education in your part of the world.
The last census showed that 1 in 5 children in Australia are educated in a Catholic institution at some point over their mm-hmm. schooling. So it's very prevalent. And actually this year is the 200th anniversary of Catholic education in Australia. They just had a big celebration last week. Catholic education is very well regarded in Australia and has a key role in educating our youth. And I spoke this morning, for example, with the new Vice-Chancellor of our Australian Catholic University. So actually Catholic education extends all the way from childcare all the way up to higher education. So I think it demonstrates how powerful Catholic social teaching can have in terms of its outreach to youth.
That was Chiara Porro, the Australian ambassador to the Holy See.